Go almost anywhere in the culture right now, and you will find groups of people that are really struggling to have conversations around human identity and sexuality. Well, today's guest is going to help us clear up some of those things. April Redlinger is the executive director of Canavox, and as such, she's responsible for managing all aspects of their amazing program, as well as creating and implementing new opportunities to move the organization into the future. She is part of an awesome event that we are hosting right here at Firmly Planted Family next weekend. The conference is called By Design, Answering Questions That Today's Teens Are Asking. And we're going to spend the next half an hour or so talking about some of those questions, such as, why does marriage matter? Who cares if it's two men and two women or a mom and a dad? Does it really matter from the perspective of natural law? This is going to be a fantastic conversation, and it's a worthy conversation to have with your children. This is the Heidi St. John Podcast. Stick around. I think you're going to be encouraged. So, April, welcome to the podcast. I'm glad that you're here.
Thank you so much, Heidi, for having us here. We're happy to be here.
Well, I'm excited because you guys are actually coming to Vancouver to do the By Design conference, and we have been promoting this. We're so excited because there is an incredible amount right now of confusion in the culture regarding human relationships, regarding sex and gender and marriage, and, you know, whether or not marriage is important. And is it the role of the government to tell us what marriage is? Recently in Washington State, and in fact, this is working its way through the legislature right now. I don't know that it will pass, but it's amazing the bill didn't get killed in committee, where they're talking about making it illegal for a young person who's under the age of 18 to get married. And on its face, that sounds like, well, yeah, we don't want child brides, right? But Washington State doesn't have a child bride problem. It really doesn't. This is the government, again, getting into the business of human relationships and trying to decide, you know, first we're going to tell you what marriage is, then we're going to tell you who can do marriage and who can't do marriage, then we're going to tell you how old you have to be and all the things. And I'm like, dude, this is not the responsibility of the government. Like, they're wildly outside of their jurisdiction, but then we're living in a culture right now that just kind of doesn't get it, right? Because for a long, long time, we have been told that marriage is basically a construct of the state. So I kind of want to start there with you, because I know that this is where you guys started when Canavox came to be. So give us a little bit. This is your first time on the show, and so this will be new to almost everyone who's listening. Tell us a little bit about the history of Canavox and sort of what your focus is.
Yeah, so the history of Canavox. Canavox started in 2013 really to address the erosion of the marriage culture. Right, we had seen all of these things coming up in the culture, and we just knew and saw that, you know, marriage wasn't being given the importance that it deserves, but also actually not even just being given the importance it deserves, but really being eroded by lots of things in the society. No-fault divorce was one of the big things that really led the way for the erosion of marriage as we knew it. And so Canavox came together to bring like-minded friends together who really understood the importance of, or, you know, knew the importance of marriage, but were unsure how to really articulate it. And actually, at the time when we brought Canavox together, what happened was we kind of used this little phrase that we were preaching to the choir. So we're like talking to our friends who agree with us, but the choir wasn't singing. And so we had to do something to help that choir sing to be able to articulate, like, I have this belief about marriage, and I know marriage should be between a man and a woman for life. But they weren't saying it because they were afraid of the consequences, right? We knew we were seeing things in the culture that made people afraid to, like, you know, speak out for what they believed. And so we wanted to get Canavox together to bring those people together in study groups where they could really study the reason, like, they know what they believe, but they weren't really sure of, like, why, what's the underlying support for why they believe, you know, marriage should be between man and a woman. And we wanted to bring them together in these study groups where they could learn about the topics, learn more, you know, study it, and then discuss it amongst their like-minded friends. So then ultimately they would be able to articulate those truths, right? By having these deep conversations, by studying, you know, you ultimately realize you're able to articulate those truths. And you know, again, just to help the choir sing, right? Because the choir wasn't singing.
Yeah, I love that. Well, and I think you rightly pointed out they're kind of afraid to sing, yeah. Right? I mean, and this was you said this was 2013?
2013, yeah.
So here we are. I mean, it's 2024, yeah. And the stakes are higher, mm-hmm. And the conversation has become very, in some regards, I think, thank you to social media, but vicious almost, yeah. Right? So we're kind of siloed in how we think about things. And if you sort of, you know, poke your head up onto the battlefield, someone's going to shoot at you, right?
Yeah.
And so you're really giving young people in particular the tools to be able to engage in meaningful conversation around these very important issues, because marriage, you and I were talking about this before the show today, is a cornerstone of a healthy society, of a healthy right. culture. Right. And you guys started out really as a sort of cheerful marriage movement. So what do you mean? Because when you said it was like this cheerful marriage movement, I'm like, well, we could use more of that.
Well, what I mean by that is, you know, we know the issues are complicated and we know, you know, not everybody agrees with us. But we believe that we have the truth on our side and we can articulate this truth in a cheerful way. And we want to engage with other people who aren't, you know, may not believe or may not hold the same opinions as us, but we think we can do that in a cheerful and positive way. Again, because we think we have the truth on our side. So, you know, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to reinforce those timeless truths about marriage and human sexuality, but in a cheerful and positive way. And we don't want our groups, we always say to our groups when, you know, people join them, we say, like, this is not a gripe session, right? Because there could be a tendency to gripe about a lot of the things that we see that are wrong in the culture, right?
Sure.
But we like to focus on the positives of these things, like the positive, like why marriage is so important. What is the great beauty about male and female complementarity, right? How that raising children in that context, or mom and dad, they are married together for life, raising kids, how that benefits kids the best, right? Like, what are the positive aspects of all of these issues we're talking about? Now, we, of course, have to talk about the negative things that go along with them, right? We have to understand them. But we also see those, you know, and view them with charity towards the people who may be suffering from some of the issues that we talk about, right? For people from transgender ideology, you know, we want to, again, treat everyone with human, you know, every human has dignity, every person has dignity. So
yes.
We have to figure out how to, you know, articulate all these truths in a cheerful and truthful and charitable way.
So there's so many places we can go. And this is why I'm very excited that you guys are bringing your conference to this neck of the woods for sure, because these are issues that we're talking about mm-hmm. almost daily now. Yeah. I mean, all you gotta do is hop onto TikTok or Instagram and, it's in your face. It's literally everywhere.
Yeah.
So you've got a young person that's sitting in one of your classes and they're like, who cares? What is marriage? Where do you start, April? What is marriage?
Yeah. So that's great. That's the whole reason Canavox started, right? To help people understand what marriage is about. So we have a session. We actually have switched them up a little bit, but our sessions on marriage, we have two: on the public meaning and benefits of marriage, and then on the private meaning of benefits of marriage. And then the session on the public meaning, what we do is we really try to help our participants hone on some of the key arguments regarding what marriage is and why it matters for individuals, families, and then for society as a whole. And some of the readings we utilize in that session, we have Ryan Anderson, who you may have heard of. He's at the Ethics and Public Policy Center. And he, in his reading that we have on our session, right, he lays the groundwork for these two opposing views of marriage, right? And the first one we call this comprehensive view of marriage. And then we have the progressive sort of meaning that's in the culture these days, which is this consent-based view of marriage. And in our sessions, we try to help teach our participants about those two different competing views of marriage and then why and how they're different and then why the comprehensive view of marriage is better for people individually and then children, of course, who are, you know, come out of those marriages and then society as a whole.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
So when you have a family, let's say someone, I'm trying to put this into like what might be an everyday conversation in my neck of the woods. I mean, you guys are located in New Jersey, and mm-hmm. as we were saying before, I think probably very similar cultures, right? From the yeah, East Coast
for sure,
to over here on the West Coast. But there are a lot of people who are just like, listen, it really doesn't matter. You know, love is love, right? This is what we hear, you know, so yeah, often. Love is love. It doesn't matter. I mean, it goes back to what you were just saying. It's based yeah, around consent. But what we're seeing is this slippery slope that we're on now. There's legislation being introduced all over the country. Now we're talking about polyamorous relationships. Mm-hmm. We're talking about all kinds of different ideas of relationships that are all based around consent. Talk to the person who's like, listen, April, I'm sure you're a sweet person, but why does it even matter? Love is love. Why should it matter that I care about marriage in the quote unquote traditional sense of the word?
Yeah. And so that's actually a great point that everybody's heard this love is love, right? And then we know the Obergefell case, which basically makes marriage genderless, right? Yep. And also makes it so that it really can be between not just two people, even though, you know, people will say like, no, that's not what it meant to be. Really, that decision makes it marriage can be.
Well, and that's where we're headed. I mean, people are openly talking. Sure. Yeah. People are openly talking about it now. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think when people, you know, they hold that view that love is love, is I think that's because they don't have a clear understanding of the meaning and the purpose of marriage. And I think if you have this hazy understanding of it, then you're going to say like, oh, there's no reason to oppose, you know, any other marriages besides the, you know, man, woman, comprehensive marriage. But the fundamental difference between the two definitions, right, regarding this, that I talked about, this comprehensive marriage and then consent-based view of marriage, is really the bodily component, right, where we talk about the comprehensive view or conjugal view, we can also refer to it as. It really, I'll give that definition of it. It's a union of hearts, minds, wills, and bodies between a man and woman in a permanent and exclusive relationship that's intrinsically ordered towards the creation of children. And then it also holds the view that marriage exists by natural law and is not created by the state, and that the state actually just recognizes it, right? It's not like something that the state gives us. This is like it was a political institution. Exactly.
Yeah. It's the Constitution for marriage, right?
Exactly.
The founding fathers said, listen, our rights are inherent. They come to us by law. You know, nature and nature's God, who's told us that we are free human beings from the moment we take our first breath. And so you're saying the same thing with regard to the state doesn't give or take away your right to marriage. It's inherent in the order of creation with male and female.
Right. And exactly. So the comprehensive union requires sexual complementarity, right? So the male and female reproductive systems coming together, and that's this organic union. And you can think of it, and we talk about in our readings, and you know, the readings from Ryan Anderson and a few others talk about this idea of organic bodily union and how we can look at it and look at the reproductive systems and see how in order for reproduction to be complete, you have to have a male and female system coming together, right? It can't operate. The reproductive system in the male body and the female body don't, have the final outcome of reproduction without being together. And other organics and other systems in your body, you don't have that, right? So if you look at your respiratory system, you don't require someone else's organs or another person's organs in order to breathe. It's an independent system, right? The digestive system, same thing. You don't require another person's, digestive system in order for you to digest your food and process it, right? It's just you individually. It's an individual system. But the only system that requires, the only system requires another body in order to complete reproduction is the reproductive system. So that is you know, key in understanding this definition of marriage, that there needs to be organic bodily union in order to be a conjugal marriage, mm-hmm. right? Or conjugal, you know, approach to it.
Yeah. And then you would also argue, I'm assuming, that this is also the best way in which to raise children, because the other argument we hear all the time is, okay, April, that's sweet, but there are lots of different ways to make babies now, right? There's surrogacy, which I'm getting ready to do a couple of podcasts on surrogacy, because the more I learn about this, the more upset it makes me. Like, babies are not commodities, but we're treating them that way, right? All the research that's being done right now on snowflake babies and all this, because of science, you know, just because we can do something doesn't necessarily mean that we should do it. But this is where the argument goes when it comes to the creation of a family. So, you know, people will say, so for example, April, I was just in the airport. I'm always in airports. I can't remember where I was this weekend, but the couple weekends before that, I was in Los Angeles and I'm leaving LAX. And to my left is a two men, a homosexual couple, and they have probably maybe 6 day old babies with them, like twins.
Yeah,
they had come from South America to the United States to basically buy these little girls, these identical twin girls.
Yeah,
and it made me feel sick to my stomach. But all around me, you know, like all the Delta agents were like, "Oh my goodness, that's so amazing!" And I just wanted to cry for these little girls. But then the people next to me were like, what do you care? These guys are going to take care of these babies. What's the argument, April?
Oh, gosh, there's so many. You know, first, it's human trafficking, right? We're talking about human trafficking.
Right?
And I mean, every time I hear the story of, you know, it doesn't have to just be gay couples using surrogates. And, you know, it's anyone, right? It's human trafficking.
We're buying human beings. Yeah, we're buying and selling.
We're commodifying human beings. And that right there, to me, is like, I don't know, the most compelling argument. When people need to think of it in that way and understand it. Like, you're trafficking human in people. And that's just wrong. Everyone should understand that. And so we really need to hopefully help people understand that aspect of it. Right?
And this gay couple would say, well, that's the only way we can have a baby, because clearly two men can't create another human being. So they have you have to commodify human beings in order for that to even happen, which is fraught with difficulty.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing is you're purposely creating a situation where you're having a child who is going to be deprived of a parent who their parents, their natural parent, right? Because if you have the situation where you have two men or two women, then there's obviously not the other person who helped create that child. And so you're immediately creating a broken situation. Now, we all know that there are situations that happen in the world, right? Where a child may not have a parent for a variety of, you know, terrible reasons. But ultimately, we do know by research that the best way to raise children is with their married mom and dad together, raising that child for life. Right.
Yeah.
And so to create a situation at the very beginning that's broken is not what we should be advocating. Right. We want to try to fix those situations when they happen through no one's fault, either death or a parent leaves or there's abuse or things like that. We don't say, like, obviously keep the child in that situation, but we try to fix those situations. We don't immediately aim to create those situations.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, and that's where it's headed. And I want to talk briefly with you about same-sex attraction. So we're hearing this particularly, I think that the voices for this movement are growing louder and louder. We see it in the evangelical community right now. We're talking about what A and B attraction, right, and how you can live however you want to, it doesn't really matter. Same-sex attraction, they're moving away from words that seem to be kind of flashpoints, right? And so moving into more what I would call gentle language, right? So instead of saying homosexuality or gay, they're saying it's same-sex attraction. And you guys are boldly, I think, tackling this issue. And I'm interested in two things. I'm interested in how is that being received? And our kids and young, you know, young people in particular, you know, the young professionals, these college students who have been really raised around this now, right? Mm-hmm. So my generation, I'm 54 years old. I had read the other day or heard someone say that my generation is the last fully analog generation, and the generation coming up who's currently in college, this is the first fully digital generation. So young people who have really been raised on the internet, you know, raised with cell phones and social media and all these things. And this is normal to them, right? Because of Obergefell. And these guys were little when this happened. So I'd love to know, how is this being received and where do you start? How do you engage in this conversation?
Well, I think always, and so we refer to it as same-sex attraction as well in all of our materials. And I think the first part where we want to start with it is always from, again, this is in with the Canavox, methodology, is with compassion, right?
Yes.
And human dignity, and that we know that all people, regardless of whatever their attractions are, deserve friendship and they have human dignity. And so I think that's how we always try to approach the conversation when we're talking about same-sex attraction. And I do think, you know, within our groups and, you know, people are like-minded usually, right? Sometimes when we get in the college groups and the, the JV groups, we have pushback from the younger students because, like you said, they've been raised with this. It's sort of like, this is just a common occurrence. They've seen...
Yeah, the sun comes up in the morning and it goes down and everyone knows that's just the way it is. Yeah.
Right. And they've been, this has been dripped through media, through all of these years, going back how many years, and just television shows. And kids, it's just there in the background, so they don't even question it, right? And so what we try to do is make them go back a step, right? Because they've just had it in the, it's in the landscape for them, right? It's always there. We've seen same-sex couples all the time. I mean, you can have a kid who goes to like a private Christian school where the school is teaching, all of these, biblical truths and that we know from the secular truths that we bring out in Canavox, but they've still seen things in the culture. They've seen billboards, they've seen TV commercials, and there's the simple things. It's not like outright, but it's like just, a commercial about yogurt where there's two guys there in the bed together eating yogurt. That's there in their face. You know what I mean? So it's just normalized. It's been so normalized over the past 50 years. So we try to take them back a step. And we have a session for the kids on understanding same-sex attraction or, just same-sex attraction and loving those people with same-sex attraction. But we take it back a step and so help them understand not necessarily why it occurs because we don't know, right? That's the one thing that we do know. We don't know. It's really a complex situation issue. There can be lots of different reasons for it. But one thing we do know is that the born this way theory that people hear all the time is that's not true, right? Because there's nothing to prove that. There's nothing proving that that is the truth. Now, we may know people that go back and you can say, well, I've always thought that person, since I've known them, they must be gay, or must be same-sex attraction. They were like this as a child. But there's no studies showing that that is a reason. It's more likely that it's a complicated, very complex situation that maybe whatever led that person to be same-sex attraction. But so we kind of talk about that in the sessions and help them. We walk them through that, especially in the younger groups. But what we also do is by teaching them in our first sessions on marriage and what is marriage and the importance of complementarity between man and a woman and how that's the best way to raise children, we hope to kind of get them out of that normalization, you know what I mean, that they've experienced for so many years, and make them really think about it and study it. Because I do think that people have taken so many things for granted for such a long time. Mm. Like maybe the people from our generation took it for granted, and then we didn't have conversations with our kids about it. And so now we're at a point like, oh, shoot, we probably should have had more detailed conversations with them about the whys for all of these things and why that's
right. Yeah. And
not the right
think,
way to
I mean,
do it.
I think sometimes that, like, you know, my generation of mothers, for example, right? I have a 32-year-old daughter and I have a 13-year-old daughter. Well, I'm raising my 13-year-old daughter in a vastly different world than my 32-year-old daughter grew up in. Yeah.
For
I mean, there's just, there's no comparison at all. And I think there's a lot of parents who have younger children like that who, I mean, if you would have said to me when my 32-year-old was seven, oh, we're going to be, we're going to be questioning what a woman is in 15 years. I would have laughed at you, right? I mean, like, oh, come on, this is basic biology. We all learned about this in elementary school, but what we didn't realize was exactly what you're saying—the sort of drip campaign, right?
Yeah,
in our schools and in our universities and in our libraries and all of these sort of things sort of came together, and parents are really struggling to identify the problem, so that they can speak to their children about it in a way that they'll understand. And I think that is where what you guys are doing, one area, I think, where you can come in and really say, hey, we're here to help you navigate these conversations in a way that is both life-giving, right? Because of the way that you treat human beings, you know, we know that we're made in the image of God. And because of that, we have intrinsic worth and intrinsic value. And so we don't look at somebody and decide whether or not they have value based on a choice that they would make or whether or not they're same sex attracted. So I love that you come into these conversations from the starting point of every human being has worth and dignity.
Yeah,
I think that's so important.
That's one of our cheer points. You know, we have these seven cheer points, and that's
so
one of
important.
Our key cheer points. That everybody has
so important.
Yes, is worthy of, you know, love and dignity. And I mean, I think what you just said was really important. Like talking about raising your daughters, the 32-year-olds in a different way than the younger daughter, and the drip that we talked about. It was so subtle for many years, but now it's not so subtle. And it's really in the school. So like, again, it was like, you may not have even noticed it. It was so, you know, just snuck into things.
It was in children's books. Like we didn't even look there.
But
you
now
we're not, I mean, we all heard about Heather Has Two Mommies.
Yeah.
But we didn't hear about the 4,000 other books who have normalized these things in big ways and small ways. And so by the time you figure it out, you're like, oh, hey, you know, this is everywhere.
It is. And it's not subtle anymore because you have different public schools across the country, even, including here in New Jersey, that are mandating it in the programs that they're teaching.
Absolutely.
And not even
true.
Just in sex ed curriculum, right, where you can, you know, opt out in many states. They're including it in like the language arts curriculum in math. So, again, it's not subtle anymore. It's
so
really
true.
There. And so what we're trying to do is, one, by equipping the parents in our parent groups, we're helping them actually first understand what the issues are, because some parents, not many now, I would say that most parents understand there's it's out there, but some still don't know. And so we educate them about, like, here are the issues, and then here's how to think about them. You know, here's the research and here are the studies, and you can get together in your group of your like-minded friends and you can talk about it and figure out, like, what we can do as a parental group, or what I can just do in my own family, and how can I strengthen my kids. And then we come along with the JV program, which we created, you know, a few years, well, about 5 or 6 years after we started our main program area, because parents were saying to us, hey, this is great. This is so helpful for us. But how can we, are there materials for our kids? And so we created this program for middle school and high school students to help the parents, not only help the kids, because we're teaching the kids the modules, but help the kids walk alongside the parents walk alongside the kids as they're doing these groups. So everybody is sort of informed and fortified with the truth going out there. But again, like having the conversation, you know.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all new Bumble. With exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Yeah. Well, and you're giving tools. I think, you know, sometimes we just don't even know how to wade into a conversation. Like you want to have the conversation. We want to be able to talk about these things, but I think what you guys are doing is so important as it relates to giving parents and youth workers and educators the tools that they need to engage from a position of acknowledging the worth and the intrinsic value of every human being, and coming to these rather than with judgment, we're coming with compassion and saying, hey, listen, there's a reason why, you know, these topics need to be addressed. And I think, you know, you just rightly pointed out, obviously, you know, I talk about this, you know, every day of the week and twice on Sunday here at the Off the Bench podcast, how important it is that parents understand this stuff is coming at your kids fast.
Yeah.
And they're not holding back anymore. They're not hiding. I think in some regards, and I'm going to continue this conversation with you in a second, but I do think that we've reached a tipping point. And I would be really curious as to what your thoughts are on that. We're out of time for the regular show today, but I'm so excited to have you come to Vancouver. You guys are coming here for the By Design Conference. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, we're so excited to give your community a sort of like a taste of what Canavox JV is all about. And that's our program for middle school and high school students. And so we're going to come in there. We have our great, one of our amazing leaders, Katie Faust, who I know you know, she has her own children's rights organization.
That girl's my sister from another mother. I love that woman. Yes.
I know, me too. I love getting together.
Fire. She is fire. Yes.
She is. And so she started in Canavox in 2014, the same year that I started. So just a year after we began. And she's going to be doing some like keynote sessions on a few of the topics that we talk about to our in our JV curriculum. Also, Katie has been very instrumental in helping create that curriculum. So she's going to come out there and she's going to talk about a few of those sessions. And then we're going to have breakout sessions with the students. And then we're going to have a parent breakout session too, so that any parents who are there can learn how to get some tools and resources to help them be able to continue on these conversations that are ordinarily hard anyway, right? Conversations about sex with your kids is tough, but we're like at a whole different level in some of these topics, right? That,
I laugh now. I'm like, I was talking about, you know, the birds and the bees with my older kids, the world's on fire now. This is harder than it used to be.
Yeah.
I am excited about this. I want parents who are listening. I mean, this is going to be downloaded, you know, thousands and thousands of times. And I'm hoping that people across the country would say, hey, there's worth in it. You guys can actually get on an airplane. You can stay right next door to Friendly Planted Family. The Hampton Inn and Suites is right here, and bring your young people and have a weekend. Carve a weekend out. It'll change your life. It's going to give you opportunities to interact with your kids on a level that you maybe haven't been able to do before. Open up opportunities to talk with them, hear what they're thinking, equip them for the battles ahead, because this thing is going to heat up. It's not going to go away anytime soon. And we need to really be able to do that. April's going to join me for happy hour in just a second, but where can people find you online, April?
So we are at www.canavox.com. And there you can find all of our different reading lists. You won't be able to get all of them online, but you get our main one online. The other ones, you have to get a login to do that.
I love it. Canavox.com. And you guys want to come to the By Design Conference, answering questions that teens are asking. This is going to be a great conference for any student who's in 6th to 12th grade, for their parents, for youth leaders. And you guys can register right now by going to firmlyplantedfamily.com/By Design. April, it's just been a fantastic blessing to have you here today. Thanks for coming on the show, and I'll see you in happy hour.
Yeah, so happy to be here.
All right, you guys want more information on today's guest? You know how to do it. Head on over to HeidiSt.John.com/podcast. It'll be in the show notes. If you're listening on iTunes or Spotify today, you should just be able to click that little information link, and the links will be there. Again, it's firmlyplantedfamily.com/by design. We would love to have you register. Bring your kids, you guys. This is an important conversation, and we're going to give you a wonderful platform in which to have that conversation with your kids. Thank you guys for listening. For those of you who are subscribed to the Off the Bench podcast, stick around. I have a couple more questions to ask April today. We're going to talk a little bit about transgenderism, how it kind of made its way into the culture, and what we can do to help our kids engage in healthy conversations. Thanks for listening, guys. I will see you right back here again at the intersection of faith and culture.